Have you ever been asked by somebody to do something and you've said yes, but you really wanted to say no? I think that question is relevant for us today. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how to come along and help people. Look around at your network and say, where can I help somebody? You and I have very different life experiences, and we've gone through good things and we've gone through bad things. I love the Young Life motto that says, you and I were made for this. Good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, you could open up today to Luke chapter 5, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 11, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. Here's what it says. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. I wonder if you've ever had a situation in your life, a circumstance has come by, and you've made a decision that has changed your life in a significant way. Something's come up, and it's almost like you were heading in one direction. There was a circumstance, you made a decision, and next thing you're heading in a completely different or a very different direction. I know there's been moments in my life that that's happened. Phil last week was talking about a time machine, wanting a time machine. And as I read this story, I was thinking how cool it would be to take this time machine and go visit the Apostle Peter when he was in prison waiting for his execution and martyrdom. I know that sounds a little weird, but the reason I thought it would be cool would be just to talk to Peter and just ask him about his life and some of the things that had happened during his life. And I think if I had done that and I was listening to him talk, that this morning's encounter with Jesus would have been one of those moments in his life that changed the direction of his life for the rest of it. It was this significant encounter with Jesus that he had in the story that we have read today. And I was thinking about why. What happened on this morning that changed the direction that he was heading? And I believe it was because he answered yes to three questions that Jesus asked him both directly and indirectly. And I believe it was that Peter said yes when Jesus asked him the first question is, would you help me, Peter? Would you give me a hand to help the lost and to share the gospel? And I think the second question in our story this morning that Jesus asked Peter is indirectly again. He says to Peter, do you trust me? Will you trust me, Peter, even if you don't understand all the circumstances? And I think the third question that Peter says yes to, and this is a direct question that he asked, Jesus said, will you follow me at all costs? And I think the reason that those questions are important for us to look at and how Peter responded is those are questions that are relevant for us today. I think Jesus continues to ask those of us who are following him, and he has those same questions for us today. Will you help me? Will you give me a hand to reach the lost with the gospel? I believe he asks each one of us, do you trust me? Even though you don't understand maybe what I'm asking you to do. And the third question that he continues to ask all of us is, will you follow me at any cost? So let's see if we can learn anything from what Peter did and responded on that morning with Jesus. So the first question, will you help me? Will you give me a hand to reach the lost with the gospel? The setting here, as we've read, is Jesus is by the shore near the lake. He's doing what he's been doing. He is talking to a crowd. He's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about the word of God. He's sharing the good news. And as he's speaking and as he's talking, the crowd is getting bigger and bigger and moving closer and closer toward him because they want to hear what he has to say. And he doesn't have a microphone. And so he's getting pushed closer and closer to the water's edge. And so to prevent getting pushed in the water, he looks down the shore and he sees his friend Simon, Peter. And he knows they've been hanging out a little bit over the past while. And so he just looks down the shore. He sees Simon on the beach. He sees him with his boat. And so he just yells down. He said, Simon, I need your help. Would you give me a hand? I need your boat and I need you. Have you ever been asked by somebody to do something and you've said yes, but you really wanted to say no? And that you're thankful that there's not a computer screen behind your head that is displaying everything that you're actually thinking, because it would be embarrassing. I think Peter said yes, but I think he was really thinking no. The reason I say that is they had been out all night fishing. I'm not a fishing expert, but from what I've heard, fishing in those days was hard work. You would set out at night because that's when you caught fish. It was a night of letting nets over the boat, lifting nets out, rowing around the lake, trying to find where the fish were at. It would be physical, hard work for long shifts all through the night. And I think for Peter, that was a pretty discouraging night, because we learn later, he says, we didn't catch anything. So you can imagine being out there all night long, working hard, coming back at daybreak with nothing to show. Your day's not over. You've got to now take your nets out. You've got to stretch them. You've got to dry them. You've got to mend them. And I'm thinking by this time when Peter's on the beach that he is just thinking, I just want to go home for a nap right now. When he hears Jesus call down from the shore, hey, Simon Peter, would you give me a hand? I need your help. I need you and your boat. And he says yes, when I think he's probably thinking no. So why would he do that? Why would he say yes when he actually is probably thinking no? And again, I think there's three reasons why he does that. I think the first reason is that it's Jesus who's asking him. And Jesus is somebody he knows. Like I said, they've been hanging out a bit. They've got a friendship going. And it's a friend who is calling and wants some help. I think the second reason that Peter says yes is the need was real. Jesus needed help. Peter could see that. The crowds were pushing him into the water, into the lake. And he understood what Jesus wanted. He wanted him to bring his boat down so that he could get Jesus get in the boat with him and they could push offshore. And so the need was real. And I think the third reason that Peter said yes is that he had the resources and he had the skills that Jesus was looking for. He had his boat and he had the skills that it would take to keep the boat under control, just away from shore, so that it wasn't being moved around by the waves coming in and swinging around. So all of a sudden, Jesus, one moment he's facing away from the crowd, one moment he's facing toward the crowd. So Peter would have had the skills to keep the boat stable and to help Jesus that way. I think that question is relevant for us today. I think Jesus says to me, Mark, will you give me a hand? Mark, will you help me to reach the lost with the gospel? And he doesn't need me because I'm a fisherman and I have a boat. But I think the reason Jesus needs me and he needs you is because we're unique in a number of ways. I think for each of us, we have a unique network in our community. Each one of us has a unique set of connections, whether it's with family, whether it's with extended family, whether it's with colleagues at work, whether it's with people that we mountain bike with, people that we hang out with, all kinds of these network connections that are unique to me and unique to you. The need is still real. There are so many people in our valley that need to hear the good news of the gospel, that Jesus and God love them and they want to have a relationship with him. And the third thing is really, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how to come along and help people. You don't have to have a lot of hard skills to be able to look around at your network and say, where can I help somebody within my group? I think all we need to be is a bit more intentional where I can come alongside somebody and help them. Another unique thing that each of us has is our own life experiences. You and I have very different life experiences, and we've gone through good things and we've gone through bad things. And I think all of those unique life experiences can help us in our network of connections to come alongside somebody who's maybe going through a hard time that we ourselves maybe have come through and with God's help have come through. And he's helped us, and we can share that either by just being a good listener, or if they ask a question, man, how did you get through what you've gone through? And we have an opportunity to share the news about Jesus with them. So my question for me and my question for you today is, again, are we willing to help? Are we willing to help Jesus reach the lost with the good news of the gospel? The second question that Jesus asks Peter, again, indirectly, is, will you trust me, even though you don't understand everything? If we go back and read from Luke 5, verses 4 and 5, he says, he'd finished speaking, and he said to Simon, thanks for your help and your boat. Take me to shore, and I'll be on my way. No, he doesn't actually say that. He says to Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Amazingly, this Jesus, this landlubber carpenter, is telling Peter, a professional fisherman, to go out and where to catch fish and how to catch fish after a night of not catching any fish. I want you to try to imagine what Peter would be thinking when Jesus asked him to do such an unbelievably stupid thing in Peter's thinking. I have a paraphrase here that I thought might catch what Peter was actually thinking pretty well. Maybe he was thinking actually something like this. Listen, teacher, my boys and I are professionals. We know where the fish feed. It's along the shore. And the best time to catch them is at night, not during the day. That's why we are out on the lake all last night. We're not stupid. We've just worked the fishing areas and we've caught nothing. We're dead tired. I've stayed awake a few more hours to serve you. You rabbis think you know everything, and now you order me to fish during the day in deep water. Very well, let's go out and we'll see who knows what about fishing. I think that does catch a bit of the essence of what Peter might be thinking when Jesus asks him to push out and take his boat out onto the water again. But again, what does Peter say? Yes or no? He says yes, and he does it. Why does he say yes? And again, I think there's a couple of possibilities. One possibility is, if we sort of head toward the paraphrase, is that he's saying yes to be vindictive and vengeful, so that when he takes the boat out and he doesn't catch anything and he pulls the nets in, he's going to be able to look at Jesus and say, I told you so. I don't really think, though, that's where Peter's heart was at. And I think we get that in verse 5. He says, because you, Jesus, say so, I'm going to let down the nets. Jesus is really asking Peter to trust him when it doesn't make any sense. You know, trust is tricky. Trusting somebody is risky. There are good trust decisions and there are bad trust decisions. And I think for Peter, Jesus was a good trust decision. You can almost hear it in the way he says it, but because you say so, I'm going to trust you and let the nets down. Why would Peter do that? Why would Peter respond and believe that Jesus was a good trust decision? And I think it's because he had a track record with Jesus. It wasn't like he was just trusting this complete stranger who he had no experience with. He had been hanging out with Jesus for a while. He had seen Jesus heal people. He had seen and heard Jesus preach. He had heard the message about God's love. He had seen the care and love that Jesus had for the people that he was talking to. Jesus had integrity that Peter saw. Jesus had this character that was someone who you would say, yeah, I trust him. The message is the man. And I think that is the question for us today when we come to those times in our lives when we feel Jesus asking us to trust him, when he's asking us to do something that doesn't make any sense, when he's asking us to step out in a direction we've never been before, maybe, and we're going, that just doesn't make any sense. And for me, what gives me more confidence in taking that step of trust is having that track record with Jesus in my life, that he's been faithful, that he has never let me down. And if we have, if I have, if you have that going for us, it becomes way easier to say yes when Jesus comes up and says to me, he says, Mark, will you step out in that direction? Will you trust me? Even though you don't understand it all. And I think the third and last question that Jesus has for Peter in this encounter on the lake is a more direct question. And Jesus asks Peter, will you follow me at any cost? If we go back to the end of the reading today, I think I'll start in just verse 5. We just read it. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the net. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. When Simon Peter saw this, he looked at Jesus and he said, we're rich. He said, this is unbelievable. Thank you, Master. Again, that's not what happened. When Simon Peter saw this, can you imagine this scene? of pulling in all of these fish, nets full, fish flopping, water splashing, boats rocking, water coming in, sinking the boats. In the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of all of this activity, this craziness, Peter's response isn't, "We're rich. We've got it made. Thank you, Master." His response is he fell at Jesus' knees. He said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and they followed him. Peter trusted Jesus, and he witnessed a miracle. Peter trusted Jesus, and he caught the mother load of fish. This story would be told for years and years and years about this fish, two boatloads of fish caught during the day that were breaking nets, that were sinking boats. This was a mother load of fish stories. Peter trusted Jesus, and he won the lottery of his day. He was set. But instead of "we're rich, we're set, thank you, Master," his response is to fall at Jesus' knees and say, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." You notice the difference in the start of this? Is at the beginning, when Jesus asked him to set out, he says, "Master, we've been out all night, but because you say so, I'm going to lower the nets." And after the miraculous catch of fish, he doesn't say "Master" to Jesus. He says, "Lord. Lord, I'm a sinful man." Master to Lord. What happened there? And I believe what happened is Peter's eyes were open to Jesus' divinity. That only God could have pulled this off. Two full boats in daylight, in deep water. Just doesn't happen without a miracle, a huge miracle that can only be really explained by God. That this Jesus that Peter had been hanging around with for the last little while was more than a rabbi, more than a good teacher. This Jesus was more than a prophet. He was more than somebody who had the ability to heal people. This Jesus was God in the flesh. And this encounter, it wasn't about riches and money anymore. It was about being in the presence of God and realizing that nothing else mattered. It was about the lordship of Jesus. And what was their response? They left everything. They left everything. They left all of that fish. They left all of that opportunity. And they followed him. And the question that I have for me, and maybe the question that I'd ask you, is this Jesus the Lord of my life? Am I willing to follow him, whatever the cost? I had a life experience about 30 years ago with a ministry called Beyond Malibu, which is sort of like a Christian Outward Bound. And this was one of those experiences, sort of like Peter's, where I had an encounter with Jesus that really changed my life. And it's a backpacking ministry where high school kids come for a week, and a couple of guides will take a group of 10 or 12 kids up in the mountains for a week, take them to a peak, talk about God, talk about how much he loves them, share the gospel. And that was a circumstance in my life where I had the impression that Jesus was saying to me, Mark, would you help me? Would you give me a hand with these kids who need to know Jesus? And I was 33 years old at that time, and most of the average age of the guides was 22 or 20. But I really felt I needed to say yes. And then the next question was, do you trust me? And I didn't know. I'd been in the bush. I liked hiking, but I was no mountain guide. And God was asking me, I think, say, Mark, do you trust me to take this step into the unknown, even though you don't know all that what it takes to take these kids in the mountains? And I said, yes, I trust you. You'll look after me and you'll look after the kids. And he asked the final question, will you follow me no matter what the cost? And I think to the best of my ability, I was able to say yes. And it did cost. I spent 3 summers in the mountains hiking with kids. It cost me some financial. I had to buy gear, which is not cheap. I had to spend some time heading to Seattle every once in a while to do some training. But it was yes. Yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you. And you know, for me, that experience was changed my life. And to finish, going back to Peter in prison. And I think if I was sitting with Peter and I said to Peter, any regrets about saying yes to helping Jesus? Any regrets about saying yes to trusting Jesus? Any regrets to leaving it all to follow him? I'm pretty sure, as he's waiting to be executed, martyred, I'm pretty sure his answer would have been no regrets. You, the challenge for me today is to, are we willing to help him? Are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to follow him? I love the Young Life motto that says, you and I were made for this. Amen.